Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got some Josh Gordon reaction, Kenny.
Don't make me sing.
Hot and heavy. Don't make me dance.
What do you got?
Nelson on Twitter says, I really wanted to believe in the Josh Gordon redemption story, but enough is enough. Browns need to move on from this guy. We have Stats OSU say Josh Gordon, most overrated player in the NFL. The longer he is away, the better he is. He's the Kaiser Soze of wide receivers. Ooh. Just forget about him.
All right. With that, we welcome in Bud Shaw, our very good friend from WKYC Channel 3 on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bud, hello.
The longer I've been away, maybe the better I am too, huh?
You know, what do you think about, should we put, I don't know how I put a line where Josh Gordon can't cross and when he should come back because, hey, I'm a fan just like anybody else. I know he's talented. I can't act like I wouldn't be excited.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I get the point of the emailer to you guys in that, you know, we've done this stance a number of times now, and you always start thinking, you know, of how he can change this offense, what he's going to bring, what he's going to do, how everybody around him is going to be so much better because he's going to be double teamed. And then he walks back in and he has time. He needs time to catch up and he doesn't run great routes and they force the ball to him. And you look up at the end and, you know, it was underwhelming. So I don't think they can control what day he comes in. He's obviously, they've given him leeway to do that for himself, and they probably should under these circumstances. If we think these circumstances are him just trying to, you know, get himself situated and come back to a team that he can help. If there's something else more nefarious behind it, then, you know, I could see where people would say it's really time for this organization to move on from this. They're not going to do it, by the way. I mean, they've already spent a lot of time waiting for this guy to get himself together, and they know he's the best talent on the field the minute he walks on it. So they're going to give him that time, but they can control their own reaction to his return. And I think they've been desperate in so many other seasons where they just force him the ball. They don't have to do that this time.
But what is the line between compassion for what he's going through, empathy, all those terms, but at the same time, kind of doing what is responsibly the right way to build a football team and to get players ready for the actual season when we know they can't afford to start out like 0-3. We know what's going to happen if they start out like 0-3.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and it's not one we're asking for the first time where he's concerned, you know. Like I said, it's been the question all along. At what point do you lean on him to be responsible and to be a better teammate and, you know, to be all in with this organization? And he hasn't been. I mean, he's talked about how patient they've been with him, and but that hasn't been the overall vibe that this organization should be taking away from all this. It should be that they can't count on this guy.
Bud Shaw joining us on the show. So Dez Bryant, if that was a possibility, would you welcome him in with open arms?
You know, here's the thing. I think I heard Anthony say, you know, it wasn't like he had a terrible season last year, and I get that, and he's a talented guy. I think so much of what this organization should be doing comes back to who they've decided to keep as head coach. Is Hugh going to be the guy that disciplines Dez Bryant if Dez Bryant starts doing what he usually does, which is, you know, gripe about how many times he's getting the ball? Is he going to be that guy? I don't. Based on the Antonio Callaway thing, I'm not sure he is. So I think if he comes in here, it has to be with an understanding that he has to fit in and not, what was that term, Anthony? Fit out? Yeah, I remember that.
It's LeBron, remember? You got to fit in or fit out.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just saying that I think Hugh sometimes talks tougher than he really is with guys. And I don't think that's a formula for how it works with should work with Dez Bryant.
You mean in terms of punishing Antonio Callaway by making him play the entire game?
I mean, what was that? What was that?
Did you think that was silly, bud?
I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, listen, so on the heels of, you know, him making his argument to Todd Haley that, you know, he's the guy in charge here and he's the one that needs guys available for the regular season, and then you play a guy deep in who you've listed as a starter. I know he's not a veteran, but you've listed him as a starter, and you've play him deep into the first exhibition game, meaningless exhibition game, to prove a point. First of all, the guy needs work anyway, so are you really punishing him by giving him more work? I didn't understand any of it. And I know, Ken, that you are an insightful guy, so I await your explanation of that.
No, I agree. I didn't understand some of the people that were stumping for him saying, well, these guys are pros and they don't like playing preseason games. Go, that guy was suspended all last year. He should want to play.
Exactly.
Danny Woodhead had the tweet going, if I'm a Brown, I'm going to do something to get in trouble because obviously I'm gonna get the chance to play in an entire preseason game and make the roster.
Yeah, it's the guy getting paddled saying, thank you, sir, may I have another? You know? You're like, what is that?
Yeah, I didn't understand the scenario where, and it might even look even worse, you can't tell me Antonio Callaway's already a guy. I know they put him on the first team, but you can't tell me he's already a guy who's above playing in preseason games when he hasn't even worn the NFL uniform in an actual game. That's where I'm
going. That's a great point. For that to be an effective discipline, it has to come from a place where Antonio Callaway thinks that he has arrived to the point where he shouldn't have to play deep. You know, it's just the whole thing just sounded crazy to me.
Bud Shaw joined us on the hotline. So Ken and I earlier in the show discussed Tyrod Taylor, the newly named Tyrod Taylor, and what honest expectations are for him, because I've gotten into it with people over the course of the last 2 weeks. A lot of people think better supporting cast means different quarterback. I guess I'm not necessarily going to believe that until I see it. What do you think of the honest expectations for that QB?
Well, we did something last night on the Spectrum Money, the Armchair Quarterback Show with Dave Bacon and Les Levine, and I made the point that, you know, let's hold off a little bit. I mean, I think the guy's an obvious improvement over what they've had, if only because he doesn't turn the ball over, but for other reasons. I think he's a better leader. Teammates seem to like him. I think they'll rally around him. But he did get replaced and last year, you know, during what was a playoff season. It wasn't like the season was over with by the time they made that decision. And, you know, Dave Bacon's point to me was, but it was a wrong decision to bench him. So that speaks better for Tyrod Taylor. I don't know. I mean, I think the expectations ought to be that when they move downfield and get inside the 20, if he doesn't make the ridiculous mistakes we saw last year from a rookie, you know, that they'll be a team that should put points on the board and should be good enough defensively to stay in most of these games and win some of them. So I'm not looking for him to be so good that they have a tough decision to make at the end of the year. But I think he'll serve a purpose for at least part of this season, and that's to get, for once, to get an offense that can grow around a stable quarterback. And in previous seasons, when they've gone, you know, rookie and they've pulled guys, they had three number one quarterbacks last year just in the preseason, right, with Kessler and Osweiler.
Those aren't number one quarterbacks. They were just listed there.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, that's where they were. They were all over the map. And at least this guy, unless somebody in the front office goes crazy and starts demanding, you know, Mayfield play early. And, Anthony, I know what you're saying. If he's the best quarterback by far, sure you play him. But I think you stand a better chance of getting off to a good start and having your offense fall into place if you have a veteran who can go out there who has seen the Steelers before and who could go into a town like New Orleans and give you a chance to win.
So let me, again, realistic expectations. We tried to do this exercise earlier with Ken. It didn't go so well. So Pittsburgh, first 10 games. Pittsburgh,
you, guys,
you play
I
Pittsburgh twice. You play the Saints on the road. You play against Philip Rivers and the Chargers. You have Jameis Winston, Tampa Bay. You have the Kansas City Chiefs, and you have the Atlanta Falcons. All of that before your bye week. What's realistic with that schedule?
I mean, I think it's hard to say wins, losses, because he could play well in some losses. You know
sure.
what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. So, no, I think that could happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would think 4-6, 5-5. Would
so are they pulling the plug if that's the case?
I don't think so. No, wow. I don't.
So they really do want a redshirt Baker this entire year.
Well, I don't know if they want to redshirt him, but I don't think if they're sitting there at close to 500, 10 games in, and he's playing well. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? If he's not,
but who cares
well, sure.
at that point? Who cares if he's playing well? If they're 4-6, they're
well,
done.
4-6 isn't out of it. You know what I mean? I know you think Oof. It is, but when's the last time you saw it?
I just know, you know, the Giants.
4-6
example,
is going to be tough to argue.
The Giants that's... example, they were 5-4 in 2004 with Kurt Warner, a Hall of Fame quarterback. And they pulled the plug. They went to Eli and they lost like 6 in a row.
Yeah, but I don't know where they were the previous two seasons, mm-hmm. but I think winning.
You think that matters?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think it should. This has been the worst organization in professional football over the last 2 or 3 or maybe even more seasons. And the idea that you can get to 4-6 and win with – I mean, what happens when you put Mayfield in there? Or you don't care? Or – if you lose 3 games or 4 games with him at quarterback, is that okay? Because
I think you're chalking it up to he was going to go through these rookie bumps, whether it was this year or next year, better for year two that he does it in year one. That to me has always been the argument for starting these guys eventually.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm old school about this, but it seems to me that if you're asking football players to lay their physical well-being on the line every week, and you're somewhere near 500 with 6 games to go, I think you owe it to those guys to try to win games and try to win as many games as you can. And if you believe that Mayfield at that point gives you the best chance, then I think it's an easier sell in the locker room if everybody else believes it. But if Taylor's playing okay or well, I would keep him in there.
Bud, you know I appreciate the time. You know I do. I don't know about Lima.
I don't know. Anthony certainly does not. But
did Bud just dominate me the way that Aditi Kikabwala did?
That's all you. That's you.
Nobody
just
could do that, Anthony.
You're just losing left and right there, my friend. Bud, we thank you for the time, buddy. All the best.
All right, guys. I always enjoy it. Take care.
The incomparable Bud Shaw on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from WKYC Channel 3. Find him on Twitter at Bud Shaw. It's not. What did I do wrong, by the way, when we did that earlier? The 10 games.
You never really gave an answer on what.
I thought I gave an answer. I said if they're five and four going into game 10, I thought we were on the premise of the Giants. We were. I know that Keith said I didn't give an answer. I gave an answer. I said if they're 5-4, how do you take out Tyrod Taylor?
No, but you said that if they go 5-4, I asked you realistically the expectations that they would even get to 5-4.
Oh, I gotta look over here. I mean, okay, fine. If we're gonna play the Browns schedule game all of a sudden, shut up, Kenny. If we're going to play the Browns schedule game all of a sudden, yeah, you got Kansas City on that schedule. You got Atlanta on that schedule. You got some tough teams on that schedule.
Phillip Rivers. So Roethlisberger twice.
But if
Drew
you are,
Brees.
If you are 4-6, I can understand where Bud is talking about where you have a bye week. Mm-hmm. That would be perfect, by the way. Mm-hmm. You got to admit, that would be perfect.
There's your break, right?
Baker to take over. But I will admit for Bud, Cincinnati, Houston will probably, I think Houston will be good. Carolina's there. You have no idea about them. Denver, I tell you what, Denver can end up sucking up the room again. Cincinnati, again, you have no idea what they're going to be
done.
In Baltimore.
They could be out of it. So can Baltimore.
You're going to have winnable games. I think people are going to look at that schedule and go, 4-6, we're still in this thing. You could still go 10-6. I know that's not really probable.
But once you're in it,
it's
possible. Once you're in it and you're away from 0-16, you start to believe anything's possible.
I got to see more. So at first blush, I would say no. I would say no. If they're 5-4, 5-5, no. But again, if I'm looking at this and going, man, Tyrod's costing us here. He's really costing us. Then yes, I would have to make a move with Baker Mayfield. Because it's not like Baker Mayfield's going to go out there. I don't think he's going to go out there and suck. I think he'll be able to take care of himself.
No,
he's
I don't think
he's a first overall pick.
You know, when I bring up the games last year, he had 2 games where he definitely sucked. They were against really good teams. They were against the Saints at home, and they were against the Patriots at home, and he sucked. I mean, he was absolutely dreadful in those 2 games. But I've never thought that, you know, by and large, over the course of a season, I don't think he's going to suck. I think he's going to be right around average. Maybe even if I grant that there's a bump, there's a little bump, even though I don't know that he'll have the same running game that he had last year, that the receivers are going to help him, David Njoku's going to help him. Okay, even if I grant you that, what does that mean for him? Is he all of a sudden going to start throwing for 300 yards?
Yeah, that's a good point. Coming up later, or coming up next, I should say, RC Cola in the stadium, Bud Light in the bars, and tomato, tomato, Tyrod, Tyrod.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.